Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which buildeth his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, your help as we preach the Bible. It's the B-I-B-L-E Sunday, Lord. And Lord, thank you for everyone here that in their heart has said, that's the book for me. I pray, Lord, that we would understand the importance of hearing the words of Christ, hearing the words of God, not just hearing them, not just accepting them, but obeying them and building upon them, Lord, so that we can be ready for the storms that will come into our lives. Bless the preaching in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to preach on this subject this morning, storm-proofing your life. Storm-proofing your life. It is the time of year where a lot of us are already thinking about winter-proofing our houses. You know why? Because if you're from this part of Indiana and you've lived here, you don't have to be told winter's coming. I got news for you. It's not going to average 70 degrees in January. If you're not from here, let me just go ahead and tell you that. You better get ready because winter's coming. That means that there's some things we've got to do. I still got to get some of this done at my house. We have to pull some air conditioning units out of a few windows that I haven't got to yet. I've got a storm door that went bad on the back door that I've got to replace before the cold winds start blowing. You know, there's a few other things that we've got to do to kind of tighten things up and prepare ourselves for winter. Folks, winter's coming. Those of you that have wood burners, if you haven't started cutting wood, let me suggest you go ahead and start doing that. Amen. And you know why? Because winter's coming. And we know as Christians that there are going to be storms that come into our life. Now, I want to take today and I want to point you to the Word of God. It's the B-I-B-L-E Sunday. I want to point you to the main person of the Word, and then I want to point you to the Word itself. Because let me tell you, the best way to stormproof your life is to build your life on the right foundation. That foundation, of course, is Jesus Christ. Now, the storms of life are going to come. And this parable teaches us the fact that storms come into all lives. Here Jesus, in speaking to the multitudes, speaking to his disciples also, told the story or the parable of two men that decided that they were going to build a home, build a house. One of them digged it down deep until he found a rock foundation, a solid foundation, and he built his house upon a rock. The other one went to an unwise location and built his house upon the sand. Now, both of these houses were built. Both men were sincere. Both men had good intentions. But one of them built it upon a rock, and one of them built it upon the sand. When the storms came, and by the way, if you'll notice, the storm came to the foolish man's house, but the storm also came to the wise man's house. I don't care where you build your house. I don't care where you live your life. There's going to be storms. Too many times we think we can run from our problems. You're not going to run from problems. Well, I just need to move. Well, you move and there'll be storms that'll find you wherever you move to. Listen, storms are a part of life. And so we see that the wise counsel that Jesus Christ gives us concerning preparing for the storms of life is encouraging us to build on a right foundation, a proper foundation. Now, I want to give you the formula. Right away, I'm going to go ahead and give you all 3 points of the outline right at the beginning because it's important that you see these together, I think, in our introduction. I'm going to give you a very simple formula for storm-proofing your life. Here's the 3 things that I believe that this parable teaches us. Number one, come to Jesus. Number one, come to Jesus. Number two, hear what Jesus says. Number two, after you've come to him, hear what he says. Number three, obey what you hear. Well, that's not complicated at all, is it? Why do we make the Christian life so complicated? It's not very complicated at all. God says this, if you want to storm-proof your life, if you want to have it on a foundation so that when the storms of life come, your house will stand and not crumble, then number one, come to Jesus. Number two, hear what Jesus says. And number three, obey what you hear. Come to Jesus. Let me start with that. Come to Jesus. That's a right place to start, a good place to start. Man, if I'm going to be a Bible preacher and I don't stand up here and say, come to Jesus from time to time, I'm not much of a Bible preacher. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about coming to Him when you realize that you need salvation. It's about coming to Him when you get to that point where God brings you under conviction of sin, when you realize that you're lost. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. I was born saved. No, you're the one that's confused. Nobody's born saved. Well, I've always been a good person. If I ever do anything bad, I'll get saved. Folks, listen to me. We were born into sin. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Apostle John went on to add this, if any man say that he hath not sinned, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. And so the honest truth is, we're born in sin. We are sinners. We commit sin. And if we don't do something about our sinful condition between the time that we're born and the day that we die, then we will spend an eternity in a devil's hell. You say, preacher, what can I do? Nothing. Well, then I'm in trouble. No, I got good news for you. You don't have to do a thing because Jesus paid it all. All to Him I own. You know what? Jesus did everything to provide salvation for you. Now, He has purchased for you eternal life. He came down. He was born in a virgin, of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He died on an old rugged cross, was buried. 3 days later, rose again. He paid for your sin and paid for my sin on Calvary's cross. All of the sins of all the world were placed on Christ. He paid for them. He died for our sins, so He paid for our sins. He was buried, and He rose again. Therefore, He has provided for us the opportunity to have all of our sins paid for, and also because of His resurrection, He offers to us the gift of eternal life. Now, what do I have to do, Brother Jerry? What's the 10 things? What's the 15 things? What's the 20 things? What's the 3 things? No, there's none of that. There's not a list of things that if you're good enough, or if you come to church enough, or you read your Bible enough, you do enough good things that's not all about, it's not about what we can do. It's about what He has already done. And all that Jesus did was buy eternal life for us and gift wrapped it. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He holds it out to you. And you do have to receive what He paid for, what He did. You do have to receive it. Sometime between when you are born, take your first breath, and when you die and you take your last breath, let me say this, on that timeline, there better be a place where you came under conviction of sin, realized you were lost, realized Jesus paid for your sins, realized He's offering you the gift of eternal life, and you call out in repentance and turn to Christ and ask Him to be your Savior. If you do that, then guess what? You're saved. You're saved. Now, let me just say this. Without Jesus, you don't have much of a chance in the storms of life. Can I say this? And I want you to mark your place right there. Well, I'm going to go to a couple portions of Scripture. Would you go to Mark chapter number 4? But go ahead and save your place there in Matthew 7. I want to just give you this. And I'll give you 2 for instances. But when it comes to storms, Jesus has a pretty good reputation. When it comes to storms, there's Bible evidence that shows us that He handles them quite well. In Mark chapter number 4, if you'll go there in verse number 35, Mark 4:35, the Bible says, in the same day when evening was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was full. Now He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. That's talking about Jesus. Understand what's happening here. Jesus and all of the disciples got into a ship. A great storm, according to verse number 7, arose. A great storm of wind, and the waves beat upon the ship so that it was now full. So the water was getting in the boat. The disciples are bailing water. The disciples are fearful. Jesus is asleep in the back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Now notice this. And they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose. Watch this. And rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another. Notice what they said. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I don't know about you, but if I have to go through a storm, I want to go through that storm with him. If I want to be stuck on a ship somewhere with waves coming over, I want him in the boat. What I'm saying, folks, is this. Hey, isn't it time you stop trying to live your life by yourself? Well, I don't need Jesus. Well, let me ask you a question. How's it going? How you doing? Come on now. Come on now. It's just us, so we can talk. Come on now. The honest truth is, life doesn't go very good without Christ. And you know what? Somebody that's without Christ, you know what? Inside of their heart, there's a longing. There's something that they know. There's an empty hole. There's something that they know that they're missing. And that emptiness will never be filled till you find Jesus Christ. Let me say this, folks, once again. The storms of life are going to come. You might want to make sure that you come to Jesus, that you accept Christ. Because when you get him into your life, you know what? Boy, I tell you what. The storms are still going to come, but it's nice to be able to have somebody that can stand up in the boat and say, peace be still. It's nice to have somebody that when we're fretting and worrying, we look over and he's got the look of serenity and confidence on his face. Let me take you to another, for instance. How about Matthew chapter number 14? Matthew chapter number 14. Can we go over there? I say that Jesus has a pretty good track record as far as being able to handle the storms of life. Matthew chapter 14, if you'll look in verse number 22, this is a different instance. In the last story, Jesus got in the boat with his disciples and went across a stormy sea. Now this time, Jesus puts his disciples in a boat and sends them into a stormy sea. Matthew 14, verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Notice this. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. The wind ceased. Hey, what I'm saying is, get him in your boat. I mean, there they are. They're out there in the storm. They're scared. They're frightened. This time, Jesus isn't in the boat for them to wake up. But right in the midst of the storm, when it seems like it couldn't get any worse, they look up and guess who comes? Walk! Did you get that? No, did you really get that? Say, I know this story. Yeah, but you know it here, but do you know it here? Did you get that? In the middle of the worst storm of their lives, they look up and here comes Jesus walking across those stormy waves and that stormy sea, and he's walking in between waves, and you know what? He's just out for a stroll. What I'm saying is Jesus isn't bothered by the storms of life. Jesus can walk right on top of the water. Jesus can give you the power, as he gave Peter, to walk on the water in the midst of your storm too. And as long as you keep your eyes on him, you're going to be fine. And you know what? Even if you take your eyes off him, all you got to do is cry and you'll still be okay. That sounds like a pretty good deal, Brother Abel. My faith a lot of times not real strong, but I'm telling you what, it doesn't matter. It's not my faith that's going to save me. It's who I have my faith in that's going to save me. What I'm saying is, listen, come to Jesus. Man alive, if you're going to have to face some things in life, you want to make sure you're with him. You want to make sure you have him. Now, folks, if you're going to stormproof your life, then you've got to build it upon Jesus Christ. Jesus is the rock. Romans 9:33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. How about 1 Peter 2:3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they also they were appointed. And you know what that portion of Scripture is telling us? Jesus, hear the chorus, young people. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. You know what? Jesus is the rock of our salvation. Now you build your life right there. You build your life right there. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Have you been saved? If you haven't, then I can tell you this. Come to Jesus. Well, Jerry, I've been blown so far off course, I don't even know if I can find him. I got good news. He'll come find you. He'll come find you. Hey, there's no accident you're here today. Come on. You know what? God wanted you here. God wanted you to hear. Come to Jesus. Now listen, if you'll come to Jesus Christ and you'll build your life on that foundation, on that solid rock, any other thing that you're building your life on is just shifting sand. It's not going to stand the test of time. It's not going to stand the storms of life. So what's our admonition today? What's our little three-point formula? Number one, come to Jesus. Number two, hear what Jesus says. And number three, obey what you hear. Come to Jesus, hear what Jesus says, and obey what you hear. Number two, hear what Jesus said. Can I remind you that Jesus, when you come to him, he's not just the rock, but he's also the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. See, when you build your life on Jesus Christ, you're building it on a solid rock. But Jesus is not just the rock, he's also the Word. You say, preacher, wait a minute. I'm glad you preached salvation, but I'm saved. And the storms of life still seem to be wrecking my house. Let me remind you and take you back to Matthew chapter number 7. It's not a matter of just being saved. It's going to cause you to have a home and a house that will stand the storms of life. Notice what Jesus says specifically in this parable. Chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Let me help you, Christian. Say, preacher, if I was called upon and if I was asked to, I guess I could. I know in my heart I could stand up and give a testimony as to the day that I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Amen. There's no more important thing in this world for you to be able to know for sure, and that's that you're saved. I know that I'm saved. Let me ask you this. I know that you're saved, and I know that you have come to Christ, and you have trusted in him as the rock of your salvation. But Jesus says this then, listen, once you are saved, hear my words and do them. Hear my words, then do them. You see, this parable is not just giving us a promise that someone who comes to Christ and takes from him salvation, accepts from him salvation, that their house will stand through the storm. The promise is very specific in this parable. He that heareth my words, he that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a man who builds his house upon a rock. I'm glad that you're saved. Good. Are you reading your Bible? I'm glad that you're saved. Are you listening and coming to church and listening to the Word of God being preached? Are you incorporating the Bible principles that you learn week in, week out into your life? Are you using Bible principles as the building materials upon which you're going to build your house? Yes, it's on the foundation of Christ, but the building materials must be strong, tried, and tested Bible principles. And then when you do that, when you come to Christ and are saved, then you come and you sit under the preaching of God's Word, and you come to Sunday school, and you come to Wednesday night, and you learn as we study the Bible, and you take what is taught, and you build them and put them into your life. You know what? All of a sudden, this promise of safety during the storm, storm-proofing your life, all of a sudden, that happens. Let me remind you folks that it's impossible to claim to be a follower of Christ without being a follower of this book. You can't separate Jesus and the Bible. Now, I'm about to fight with some people. I'm not talking about in here. I'm talking about outside of here, about their attacks on this book. I'm just about to get real nasty with some folks. I'm going to tell you something. You can't separate God from His Word. You can call me a book worshiper, a Bible worshiper. You can say whatever you want to. Let me remind you of this. I told you John 1:1 said, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was." How about Revelation 19? "And I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God." What I'm saying is, you know what? Honestly, I'm just going to be honest. I'll be transparent with you. It's not that I would try to be deceitful or dishonest with anybody in this room. But you know what? You can separate Jerry Russ from his words. My words are not always a correct representation of who I truly am. You know what? Because I am imperfect. I might misspeak. I might make a mistake. I might say something I don't mean to say. I might say something in sin or anger. I might say something intending to do it and then forget to do it. I'm capable of dishonesty. I'm a sinner. But let me say this: none of those things are true about God. You cannot separate God from His Word. He is interpreted by His. But by these words, he is given to us, and we understand Him through His words. What I'm saying is this: when you read the Bible, listen to me, Bible Sunday, man, take this book and just hold it. And just understand that every minute you spend with this book, it's like spending it with Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. When He comes back one of these days and the heavens roll back like a scroll, and the armies of Satan are gathered in a valley called Armageddon, and He rides down. And by the way, if you're saved, you'll be riding with Him. They're going to look up and they're going to see that across His chest is blazed this, the Word of God. You can't separate Jesus from this book. Listen, if you're obeying this book, you're obeying Jesus. If you got a good relationship with this book, you got a good relationship with Jesus. If you're disobeying this book, you're disobeying Jesus. Well, I just don't agree with that preacher. If this preacher is preaching this book, you look down. What I'm saying is the same thing it's saying. Don't use me as a scapegoat. I'm supposed to be the watchman that stands on the wall. I'm supposed to be the one that blows the trumpet. I'm supposed to be the one that says, "This is what the Bible says. That's what God's called me to do." Don't use me as a scapegoat. Come on, at least be honest if you're going to be backslidden. At least be honest. And say, you know what? It's not the problem with a preacher. It's a problem with my heart and this book. They're at odds. I don't want to bend to it. I don't want to obey it. I don't want to incorporate it. And you know what? God will give you free will and you can do whatever you want to. But I'm telling you, the storms of life are going to come. The storms of life are going to come. Now come to Jesus. Be saved. Good night. If you're not saved, be saved. But after you are saved, realize that this book was given to us as a lifeline. This is what is going to teach us how to have the right kind of marriage and how to raise children and what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do and where we're supposed to go and where we're not supposed to go and how we're supposed to act, what we're not supposed to do. And it's going to introduce us to God and help us understand His character, and it'll teach us about our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. It'll teach us about the Holy Spirit that God has gifted us, that's there to teach us the Bible and to lead us and lead us into divine appointments. Listen, what I'm saying is get into the Bible and hear what Jesus says. I want to say one more thing about that before we move on to the last point, and that's this. Church attendance is important. Church attendance is important. Let me say a word to Blessed Hope Baptist Church members. You know what? Some of you are already just about turned into Sunday morning only Christians. You weren't raised that way. You know better, but you're doing it anyway. You know what? Shame on you. What was taught in Sunday school this morning was important. What's going to be taught tonight, I'm not talking to some brand new Christian who just wandered in the door, although it's good that you hear this. Because the faster you get in all the way and come to all the services, the faster you're going to grow in the Lord. Man, if the Bible is being opened and the Word of God is being preached and imparted, you ought to be here. I'm pleading with you. We can't have a generation raised up that has a casual, flippant attitude towards church attendance. Come on. The bread of life is being baked and sliced and served. And you know what? You ought to come eat some of it. Hear what the Word of God says. Bible says that the preaching of God's word is to them without Christ, them without, that it's foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. I think one of the evidences of true salvation, you better hear what I'm going to say. Well, the evidences of true salvation is your attitude towards the preaching of this book. Some of you that try to figure out every single way to never have to sit in under a preaching service, the honest truth is that is a testimony of a lost person. That's not the testimony of a saved person. That's the testimony of a lost person. You see, what I'm saying is this. Man, when God saved me, when God saved my mom and dad, you didn't have to tell us to get to church. You know what? We understood that that was part of what was supposed to happen. And we were hungry for it as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Some of you have got these new babies around here. You know what? You don't have to go to them every couple days and say, now it's been 2 days. You need to cry for some milk. What's wrong with you? It's been 3 days. Why aren't you crying? You know, I'm going to tell you what. As soon as their little tummies get a little empty, they're going to start a squalling. You know what? It's as natural and normal for a newborn to cry when they're hungry and to be hungry and to desire milk. And the Bible says if you're a newborn Christian, you know what? We ought to desire the sincere milk of the Word. And so the Bible says that we may grow thereby. That we may grow thereby. And so, hear what Jesus says. Hear what he says. Man, get into your Bibles at home. Come to the Word. Come to church. Listen in Sunday school. Get everything you can get. And let the Lord do something sweet in your life. Now, here's the simple formula. I hope you'll take this away if you don't take anything else away. Brother Jerry, storms of life are going to come. Yes, they are. How do I stormproof? How do I prepare for those storms? You come to Jesus, you hear what he says, and you obey what you hear. You build those things into your life. That's the last point. Obedience. Obedience. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, I will liken him unto a wise man. No, I'm sorry, that's not what it says. It doesn't say, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, I will liken him unto a wise man. Which, but no, I'm sorry, that's not what it said. Look at me, Christian teenager. Look at me, Christian teenager. I'm talking about those of you who got perfect church attendance. Never missed Sunday school yet this year. And the honest truth is, your life's not one bit more different than it was a year ago. You know why? Because you set, and it goes in one ear and right out the other. It's not a matter of hearing what's said. It's a matter of doing what you hear said. It's not a matter of memorizing. We got young people right now going to our Christian school. And you know what? By the time this school year is over, they will have memorized hundreds of verses. I've watched kids go through Awana programs and master clubs and memorize thousands of verses. And a year after they graduate from high school, live a pagan, wicked, heathen life. You know why? All they did was memorize a series of words in a certain order. They got it here, but they wouldn't let it touch here. They got it here, but they wouldn't let it touch here. The Bible says that we are not to just be hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. If somebody is a hearer only, the Bible goes on to say, James chapter 1, that we deceive our own selves. Preacher, I'm a good Christian. I come to church all the time. I know, and I'm glad that you spoke to those people that don't come all the time. They needed to hear. Wait a minute. You can sit right here in every single service, but if you hear it and you won't do it, then you know what? You're no better than the person that's not here. And you're not stormproofing your life. Brother Jerry, I got a better plan. No, you don't. I found another piece of ground to build my house on. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. The honest truth is, I think it should be a natural thing in the heart of every Christian. And I know we have the old man. I know we have the Adamic nature. I know that there's a part of us that will always be, until we leave this mortal body, there'll be a part of us that is resistant to sometimes our flesh not wanting to do what the Bible says. But there should be inborn a new person, a new spirit that has a hunger for the things of God and a desire to do them. Obey what you hear. Obey what you hear. Obey what you hear. Obey what you hear. Let me say this. I'm scared. I'll be honest with you. I'm scared for this generation. And young people, I'm not talking about the ones here. I'm talking about the ones that aren't here. You think of the percentage of young people that are being raised right now. Think about this. Percentage of young people in Green, Clay, and Sullivan County, our tri-county area, the percentage of young people that are being raised and never darken the door of a church. I went a couple weeks ago to saw a man that we reached over in Bloomfield, and he started coming over to the church, the chapel service, and he had some little children in his house. And he said, "I'm a born-again Christian. We've been out of church." He said, "I know I need to get in." And he started coming, and he came for a while, and then he fell out, so I went and seen him. And he said, "Well, you just don't understand our schedule, and my wife's works." And he started, and I said, wait. And I pointed right over those little girls playing in the front yard. I said, "Are you going to tell me that those precious girls are going to have no memory on Sundays of getting up and coming to the house of God? They're not going to sit in a Sunday school class and learn about Daniel and the lion den and David and Goliath and the creation story. You are going to rob your children of a Bible upbringing, of a church upbringing." And boy, he just blinked several times. I said, "Brother, listen, I can't live your life for you. And I know that the devil will throw 1,000 barriers in the way to try to give you a reason why you can't be there. But I promise you, you will weep your heart out one of these days. Because those little girls aren't going to stay little girls very long. You'll blink a few times and they'll be young women. And they will not be godly. They'll be godless, and it'll be your fault." Brother Jerry, that's pretty plain. Yeah, I know. We need to get plain. We need to get plain. We are losing a generation because moms and dads are too lazy to set an alarm clock, get out of bed, get the little ones ready, and trot them to Sunday school. We are losing a generation. Now, they can get them to ball practice. They can be down here at Hannah Field on time every time, 5 or 6 practices and 2 or 3 games, but you can't get to the house of God. The honest truth is, you do what you really want to do. You serve the God you want to serve. But I'm going to tell you something. You go ahead and build, listen, go ahead and build those children's life on sports. Go ahead and build them on that sand. Say that that's good enough. That'll take the place of a godly upbringing, but it won't take the place of a godly upbringing. I feel like a voice crying in the wilderness. I feel like I'm standing and a tsunami's coming, and I'm preaching into it. We're going to get swept away. We've got to wake up. Yes, sir. I know you're at church this morning. Thank you. But I'm going to tell you something. Young people, listen to me. Some of you that I see come in and out of here, you wander in and out in here. You know, if it's convenient, I'll ride the bus. If nothing's going on, I'll ride the bus. If I get up, I'll ride the bus. You walk in, grow up in a life with that casual attitude towards coming to the church house, listen, your life's going to be a disaster one of these days. Man, if I was a teenager and I was riding a bus, I wouldn't just come Sunday morning. I'd go to my bus captain and I'd say, "How do I get here on Sunday night? How do I get here on Wednesday night? I don't want to ever miss church." You just decide that you're going to be here. Now listen, folks, this is it. Come to Jesus. Hear what he says. Obey what you hear. Come to Jesus. Hear what he says. Obey what you hear. Now, you know what? You grow a little, and you grow a little, and you grow a little. You get down. You build your house on the rock. You start building the walls. Every single piece that you put in there, you want to make sure it's Bible-based and Bible-true. You build this home. It's on the right foundation. It's made out of the right materials. Then here comes the storms. Here comes the storms. Now, let me say this. When the storms come rolling in, before the storms come rolling in, you can look at the man's house that's built on the rock, and you know what? You can look at the man's house that's built on the sand, and you know what? They may not look that much different. Well, preacher, I know someone that doesn't go to church. They're doing okay. Well, just, I know. But wait till the storms roll in. Wait till the storms come. And you can look in and say, "Well, they seem like they're doing it." I know. But the storm's going to come. And you know what? If you build your life on the right foundation with the right Bible materials, one of these days a storm's going to come. And you know what? That house is going to be leveled. This house is going to be standing firm, standing true. A wise man built his house upon a rock. The wise man. Now, the kids, they like that and they sing that verse with me, but they tolerate it. They really want to splat the foolish guy. I mean, that's what it's all about. I looked at, you know, they're singing it. And then the second verse, they kind of get this smile on their face because they're going to splat the foolish guy, you know. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. Foolish man built his house. Help me sing it. Come on. And the rains came tumbling down. Help me now. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. And the house on the sand went splat. You know what? That's a fun song and we sing it, but you know what? It's no fun. It's no fun as a preacher to see the house go splat. It's no fun to see somebody's life go splat. You listen to me. I'm glad you're saved, but are you obeying the Bible? Are you even here to hear the Word of God? Are you going to build with the materials provided by God so that you can have a strong house that'll stand the storms of life? This church, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, has to be built on the right foundation with the right Bible materials. Your home must be built on a right foundation with the right Bible materials. Your life needs to be built upon the right foundation, right Bible materials. You know why? Because the storms are going to come. Storms are going to come. It's amazing. You may see this guy over here, and it may seem like it's taking him a lot more time to get down to the rock, and this guy's building faster. And he's a little more meticulous about what the materials he'll use, and this guy doesn't care at all. But I'm going to tell you something. I've watched Christians. I've watched them right here in this room. And I've watched the storms come to their life. And you know what? After the wind has blown and the waves and the rain has beaten on that house and the waves have hit that house, you know what you'll see? You'll see that house stand. You'll see it stand. And it will test out. So let me encourage you, as we're thinking in the mode of getting our homes ready for winter, let me just encourage you to go ahead and stormproof your life. By stormproof, I don't mean there's anything you can do to prevent the storms from coming. I'm saying you can get ready for them. Come to Jesus. Here it is. Come to Jesus. Hear what Jesus says. Obey what you hear. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you take these simple truths and you'd stir our hearts. Lord, we need a revival in our hearts of just coming to Jesus, hearing what he says, obeying what we hear. Coming to Jesus, hearing what he says, obeying what he hears. Then the next week, come to Jesus, hear what he says, obey what we hear. And then get up and open our Bibles. Come to Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Come to Jesus. Hear what he says. Obey what we hear. Lord, I pray for that one that may be here without Jesus Christ as Savior. Lord, I pray that you'd speak strongly to their life. Lord, bring a Holy Spirit conviction. Give them an unrest, Lord, in their heart right now. They've never received you as personal Savior. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would just bring conviction into their life. Help them to understand that you love them. Help you to understand that you've paid the price for them. May they even now hear the wooing of the Father. No man cometh unto me unless the Father draw him. That sweet God of ours that calls towards the heart. That sweet Holy Spirit that joins in the conviction process. The Father, the Son, the Spirit, they all say, come, 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 come. I would pray, Lord, if there's anyone here, whether it's a child, whether it be an adult, and they would feel the conviction of God upon their life, knowing that they're not saved, that today would be the day that they'd be saved. And Lord, for each and every one that's here as a Christian, I pray, God, that you would begin to deal with their life concerning these simple truths. Lord, help us to get back to the book. B-I-B-L-E, Sunday. Help us get back to the book, to be people of the book. Help us to read it and love it and learn it and memorize it, meditate upon it. And then, Lord, maybe we'd be wise as we learn it to just incorporate the principles into our life. The storms are coming. Lord, the storms are coming. Thank you for being the master of the sea. Thank you for being the one that can still the waves. Thank you for being the one that can walk on the water and find us in the midst of our worst storm and step into the boat and everything comes quiet, comes to rest. There's a peace that comes. I pray, Lord, that everyone has that in their life. Lord, that everyone's saved today. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I want to, as a Bible preacher, talk to you heart to heart. Please listen to me for just a minute. You may not understand this, but I love you. Say, preacher, you don't even know who I am. I promise you that God has given me a love for the people that walk into the door of this church. I look out and I want the best for you. Whether I know you, whether I don't know you, I love you. But I got better news than that. God loves you. God loves you. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ and you've never been saved, would you please be saved today? Would you please be saved today? Hey, you know what? If you're going to sail the stormy seas of this life, you want to make sure Jesus is in the boat with you. Preacher, I'm here today, and if I died right now, I'm not sure what would happen. I don't know for sure what would happen if I died right now. I don't know. But I do need Christ. And I have been trying to face the storms of life without him, and it's not going well. I need Jesus. I need him in my life. If you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved, I'd like to pray for you. I won't come get you. No one else will. I won't call your name or embarrass you in any way, but I want to pray for you. Preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure what would happen to me. I'm concerned about it. God's dealing with my heart. Please pray for me, preacher. Would you raise your hand? I'm not saved. Please pray for me, preacher. I'm not saved. Please pray for me. Anyone at all. I'm not saved. Please pray for me. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Anyone else? God's working on hearts. God bless you. I see that hand back there. Preacher, I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? I'm not saved. Please pray for me. If you're a Christian, you say, preacher, the honest truth is the storms of life. I'm in the middle of them. The winds are blowing hard. I need Jesus to come walking across the water right now in my life. Preacher, I'm facing some storms. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? I'm facing some storms. Would you pray for me? All over the auditorium, God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for these that have raised their hands, for these tender hearts that have said, I'm not saved. And Lord, I pray for them. I pray that they would be saved this morning. And for these Christians that are going through storms, God help us. God help us. They come. They come. They come. Thank you, Lord, that you're the one consistent thing, rain or shine. Lord, whether it's noonday or midnight, you're always there. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Always there. Always the strength of our life. Lord, there's those that need you in a special way. Please show yourself mighty on their behalf even now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.